Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you and worship you for this beautiful day, a day that you have made, a day that we can be an overcomer. Lord, guide us and direct us in all that we say and all that we do. Help us to capture every thought today, Lord, to make our mind obedient to the commands of Christ, that we may walk in perfection and obedience to your word, so that we can be able to do all the same things you did, so that we might fulfill all of the royal law, to walk in love to you and our mankind. Father, we praise you and thank you for this beautiful day, this mighty day that you have made. Now, as the word goes out today, use the word mightily to build people's strength, their faith, their knowledge of the word, so that they truly may walk in obedience to your word. And we worship you and praise you and thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, this week we're continuing on in our study of the examples that Christ left us when he was here and what he expects us to walk in. Last week we talked about perfection and how we're supposed to walk perfect as the Lord did. But this week we're continuing to talk about some more of the mighty examples that our Savior was to us and how he expects us to walk as he did. Because when we read Proverbs 23:7, the Word of God declares, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now then, as you think, so you are. I've come to realize that our major problem is we don't think like God at all. We think like man. We have been trained and programmed to think like man instead of like the Word of God says we should think. It's amazing what happens when we begin to think like God. Now, before we can walk as Christ walked and talk as he talked, we must absolutely begin to think as Christ thought. Now, this is only possible if we will bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, because that's what he told us to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In fact, verse 5 is where he said that. But that 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5, you should absolutely meditate on that whole set of verses, because that will show you what we need to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, this doesn't just accidentally happen either. I'm going to tell you this is a difficult thing to do. And I'm going to tell you, it has to be an act of determined consecration, requiring purpose and continual application. For the mind loves to wander. Oh, how the mind loves to wander. It also requires a willing exchange. In other words, giving up the former ways of thinking and accepting as our own the mind of Christ. Because in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Word of God declares, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, if the mind that was in Christ is in us, then we need to set that mind into operation and become the sons and daughters of the King of the universe that begin to think like Christ. Now, it is absolutely a possibility to lead a magnificently wondrous, victorious thought life, even though our old enemy Satan tries his best to invade with evil suggestions and all kinds of evil thoughts. But nowhere in God's word has he declared that man would not be tempted. Even Christ was tempted. So you can be assured that if Christ was tempted, you will be tempted. In fact, you'll notice that when Christ went into the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil. And our Lord quoted the word of God to the devil three times and came against him with, "It is written." And you and I need to remember that in great detail, because that's the only way we're going to beat the devil, is to come against him with, "It is written." So when even Christ, when he did that, and it says, "And the devil left him till a more opportune time." So you can see, if the devil's going to come back to Jesus, you can be assured he's going to send at least one of his demons to attack you and I. So just get used to it. We're in a war. We're soldiers on the battlefield. So the quicker you learn that and the quicker you get used to that, the quicker it is to come against that devil and kick him out of your life and get set free. You know, even though these evil, wicked thoughts do come, and even Christ was tempted, but we can refuse to dwell upon these evil thoughts that the devil brings to our mind. In other words, a sane mind is a controlled mind. Evil thoughts can be driven out by filling the mind with good thoughts. The Lord told us very clearly in Philippians 4:8 what to think on. Now then, I want you to listen to what the Lord told us to think on. Now I'm going to tell you, you can't watch the trash of the world. You can't listen to those worldly, wicked radio programs that's out there and some of the wicked music and everything else that's on radio. And you can't watch the trash on television and have a sane, controlled mind. It cannot happen. Because I want you to listen to what the Lord told us to think on. Now here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, if you think on those kind of things, you won't have a problem with the devil, because as you flood your mind and your heart with all those good thoughts, the devil will not be able to put evil thoughts in your mind. Jesus, he thought good thoughts. Now, that was the reason he could walk and talk right and be a good example for us to follow, because he thought on about good things. But Christ also suffered for us. He left us an example that we should follow his steps. And in 1 Peter 2:21 through 22, he says, "This example that Christ left us that we should follow, in him who did no sin." Now then, if he did no sin, and that's the example you and I are supposed to follow, then that must be an obtainable goal. If it was not obtainable, then the Lord lied to us. But we all know the answer to that. We know that Christ cannot lie. He cannot tell us a lie. So if he told us to think on good things, and he said, "In me there was no sin, and you are to follow my example," then that's the example you and I are supposed to follow. We are not supposed to sin. So until you get that in your spirit and stop saying, "Well, I'm just a human being, and I sin all day, every day," as long as you say that, the devil will have absolutely no problem deceiving you, and you will walk in sin, and you will never be able to walk in the power of the Word of God. You'll never be able to cast out a demon. You'll never be able to heal the sick. But if you'll be obedient to God's Word and do what he says, then you can walk with no sin. If you do slip up once in a while and have a little sin, immediately confess it. Get right and be restored to righteousness. Now then, our Lord, he did not live in habitual sin. In fact, he didn't do any sin at all. He did not even make excuses for sin. He just resisted the devil and the temptations. And although he was in all points tempted, just like you and I are, yet he was without sin, because he wrote that for us in Hebrews 4:15. Now, if Christ is our example, and he stands ready to help us walk as he walked in his steps, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." Now, that's in 1 John 3:6. "Whosoever abideth in Christ sinneth not." Pretty big mouthful there, isn't it? But that's what he said. Now, I'll tell you, the kind of teaching that I'm doing here today is absolutely contrary to much of the religious teaching you'll hear today. Too many people you ask in churches today will say, "Oh, we're just human beings. We just sin all the time anyway." And I'm telling you, multitudes of religious people, I mean many of them, you know, who believe in divine healing, find themselves powerless when faced with those who need deliverance from sickness or demon possession. If you really want power with God, surely this matter is worthy of our serious, prayerful thoughts. regardless of former opinions or religious teachings. Now, there is a reason why some have power and some do not. And it is not because God is a respecter of persons. Power is a direct result of faith, and faith comes by obedience. Now then, truly your faith worketh by love. And if your power is a direct result of faith, and faith cometh by obedience and love, then we've got something that we need to straighten our act up and get right with God. Now, let me tell you, folks, if our heart condemneth not, then we know we have confidence or faith toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, that scripture there is written in 1 John 3:21. Now then, if our hearts condemn us not, which means if you're walking in love and obedience to God's word, then your heart will not condemn you. And when you walk with the Lord, when you speak in His name, great and mighty things will work. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, that hope is available to people without holiness, but faith is not. You can be a Christian and have hope of heaven. And yes, you can go to heaven by believing in Jesus Christ. And you can do that with your hope and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But without holiness, the Lord says, no man shall see God. So without holiness, you have no faith. But faith absolutely is not available to people that walk without holiness. Holiness is a requirement to walk in faith. Now, if faith were available to people without holiness, then anyone, anywhere, saved or unsaved, could ask and receive anything they want from the Lord. But the Lord's unqualified promises to those who have faith is, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Because He wrote that for us in Matthew 21:22. But God also said in His word, follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see God without holiness. Now, I'd like to invite you to write me, the Living Savior Ministries, at Box 35, Justin, Texas, 76247. Or you could give me a call for entire teachings on all these subjects, for these audio and video tapes, especially these audio tapes that we make every week, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can get to us on our website. The website is tlsm.org. tlsm.org. And we'd like to invite you to our church every Sunday at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon until 4. We would love to have you. That's 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Come expecting a miracle from the Lord.